Good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're in a series called Vision, Seeing What God Sees. And we've been talking about the concept of vision. And really, because vision is a funny thing, you could have your eyes open but not see anything. Because vision at its core is really about perspective. It's about seeing beyond where you are and discovering what God has for your life. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, people perish. But he who keeps the law, happy is he. So we've been asking the question, what is the value of vision? Like, what is the value of vision? Like, why do we have vision in our lives? When we look at it, when we process it, what is the value of it? Because vision creates hope and purpose. It creates hope and purpose. So when we process that, when we look at that, and we begin to say, what is God's purpose for our lives? As we mentioned earlier in Jeremiah 1 verse 5, before God knew you had a purpose in your life. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you what? A hope and a future, not to harm you. He wants great things for your life. So whether or not you've understood or not, God has a purpose and design for every single one of you. And in the last couple of weeks, if you'd like to follow up, you can look on our website and follow on a podcast. It'll explain all these details we talked about, how God's vision for your life and how that looks, and how we looked at mission, and mission gives structure to vision. And we ask, how do you find your vision and mission? How do you find it? Well, it comes through adopting into one of the greatest roadmaps ever created, and that's the Bible. It's God's word through man inspired that you can have a roadmap. It gives structure to the vision that God has for you. And as you jump into that, you begin to follow that, you see what God has in store. So our vision, as we talk about us as the Crossing, our vision is to spread God's love all across this world by planting churches that plant churches. In other words, when we look at the first century church, what we see, that's the model they did. They were a church that spread out. They shared the love of Christ all around them. You have the church of Ephesus, Corinth, Thessalonica, and the list goes on and on. So you see, that was what they did. They planted churches that planted churches. And that's our vision today, is to plant churches that plant churches. The mission we believe God's called us is to become a disciple that makes disciples of Christ. And in doing so, becoming a disciple is Matthew 22, loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Making disciples is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples. That's the word of God. And so when we look at the word of God, we feel like that is what God has called us to do. So over the last few weeks, we've been unpacking that and how the connect piece and how we connect to God and the body of Christ and the body of Christ. We grow in, up, and out, and accountability. We talked about all that. Last week, we talked what it means to partner, the difference of being a member of something and being a partner. Partner takes ownership. And today I want to talk about lead. What does it mean to lead? When you think about leading at its core, that John Maxwell is one who's known by many people for his leadership skills. And he's the one that made the term, the frame, leadership is influence. But he has a quote that I thought was so funny. One of his early quotes, it says this, he who thinks he leads but has no followers is only taking a long walk. Think about that. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. It doesn't matter what you say you are. If you say you lead or you don't lead. The reality is simply, when it comes to leadership, is this. Leadership is an influence that people have. And when you look at leadership at its core and you say, how does this apply to the word of God? How does it apply to we see the Bible? Well, if you think about it, if leadership is influence, one of the greatest influence to ever walk this earth was Jesus. His influence was so great that it literally has transcended generations. We talk about it today. We talk about the leadership lessons. Some of the greatest leadership lessons that you've ever learned came through what? Jesus. Jesus had the ability to literally go and to speak to crowds where they were. Like, he would talk to them literally in their context and give them examples. We know them as parables. But he would, through their context, influence them and share with them what it was all about. So today, we're going to look at this. Because Jesus didn't come to be the leadership guru. Amen. He wasn't here to say, oh, I'm going to teach you about leadership. He came to die on the cross for your sins, so you can have a relationship with him. But through some of his incredible lessons, we can learn and we can grow and discover what leadership truly is. In Matthew 20, verse 25, Jesus says it like this. He says, but Jesus called together and said, you know that rulers in this world lord over you or over the people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what I want to do today is look at some leadership principles from the life of Jesus. Just some principles that you can take home that we see from his life. The first one is simply this. Jesus humbled himself and allowed God to lift him up. Look at Philippians 2 verses 5 through 11. Paul writes, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took a humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him a name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So one of the first principles we see here is this concept of humbleness and servant leadership. It's funny because this is, let's track this, 2,000 years old. But yet a buzzword when you go in the business world today is what? Servant leadership. The greatest example comes from who? Jesus. He humbled himself. Now here's what I want to do. I want you to think about the challenge. With each principle, I'm going to give you a challenge. Because there are challenges that we face in a society. Because the concept of servant leadership is a complete antithesis to where we are in our society. Because we have the challenge today of narcissism and self, with the selfie generation. There should be a pic for this. Look. Oh, another selfie. How many likes and comments would it take to make you feel better about yourself? Can I get an amen? Right? I mean, think about it. We post the absolute craziest things, don't we? Why do we do that? We want people to see. We're wanting affirmation. We want people to know, or we're wanting to say our voice and see if anybody else agrees with our voice. Even so, now they have Snapchat, right? And you can streak. Anybody here streak? The kids, yeah, any of y'all streak? If you said you streaked in our generation, we would have a problem, right? I'll never forget, like, my nephew one day, he was doing things. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm streaking. I was like, you're what? He's like, I'm streaking. I said, you're going to have to explain that to me. Because, I mean, like, if you're streaking with us, we got problems. Like, no, you're not. You're not streaking. But you have all these different generations, and they post of anything. It didn't even have to have any value, nothing. But we live in a generation where it's all about the selfie generation. Like, selfie, you take pictures, you know, you take your arms, and then now you don't even need that. You got a selfie stick, right? You have a selfie stick, you can take pictures. And it's not that there's anything wrong with taking a picture of yourself. It's when you look on your phone and you have like 1,000 selfies, right? You're like, dang, you're like, what's going on here, right? It's this challenge in our generation. It's this challenge in our society that wants us to, we want to be loved. We want people to say you're great. We want people to say you're awesome. We want people to pat us on the back. Can I tell you something? That's nothing new. That's been around for generations. But you know what? It's contradictory to the principle of leadership and servant leadership and being humble. When you look at Jesus in this scripture, it says he died a criminal's death. He gave up everything he had, all the rights that he had. And he said, look, I'm going to humble myself. And if you want to follow the example of Jesus, you have to learn to humble yourself and allow God to lift you up. Recognize that your promotion doesn't come from you. Your benefits, your ranking in school doesn't come from you. It comes from God blessing you as you humble yourself and you work hard and do your part and allow God to do his part. So the leadership principle one is humble yourself and allow God to lift you up. The second principle we see from Jesus is that Jesus followed God's will rather than simply seeking a position. Look at John 6:38. It says, for I have come down from heaven, Jesus speaking, to do the will of God who sent me. and not to do my own will. John 4:34, Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Now, the challenge that we face in this principle is what? It's the jockeying for position. We jockey. Have you ever seen horses that are jockeying for position? There should be a picture there. You ever seen horses that are jockeying for position? What happens? What happens in that? You see all these horses that are going together, and when it lets out, then boom, they find a spot, and then they finally get in their position. This term comes into place in our lives. We all are jockeying for that position. We want to position ourselves, you know. You see it when you go to work. You have different jobs, or if you're at school, those that are brown, they call them the brown noser at the teacher. You have the other flip side of it. You have the person that always sucks up to the boss. You know, it's you know who they are. Like I said that, and you instantly you're like, I know who that is, right? You know, because we see all this. We're trying to position ourselves. We're trying to position ourselves for greatness because we think that, you know what, if I'm going to get there, it's going to be on something I've done. I can do it. But can I tell you something? If you're looking at the life of Jesus, when you follow God's will rather than seeking a position, it's just as the first one. He lifts you up. When you seek him before you seek position, when you seek his face before you seek that, he's going to honor you. Why? Because you have your priorities in check. You're seeking him. And know what? He will honor you because you honor him. We see this over and over. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it play out in people's lives. People, as I've been in the ministry over 20 years now, I can see it. People are like, when they give up and say, Lord, I'm going to put you first in my life, all of a sudden God begins to bless them. Why? Because their priorities are in check. And they understand the value of seeking God more than seeking a position. The third principle we see is Jesus defined greatness as being a servant. Look at Mark 9:33-37. It says, after they arrived at Capernaum and settled in the house, Jesus asked his disciples, what were you discussing on the road? But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which was the greatest. He sat down and called the 12 disciples over to him. And he said, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be a servant to everyone else. Then he put a little child among them and said, taking a child into his arms, he said this, anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. Anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but welcomes my Father who sent me. And this is the challenge we see here of servant leadership. Because Jesus is telling them, he's saying, hey, what you got to understand is the defined greatness that you want. To be great, you have to become less. He said it, to be the greatest, you've got to be willing to be a servant. If you want to be known, then willing to serve. What is the principle that's taking place here? What is the principle? It's an issue of what? Credibility. Ask yourself this. Do you want somebody to lead you who's always constantly telling you what to do and what you've done wrong and beating you down over the head, and they do nothing, but all they do is sit there and tell you what to do? Nobody likes that kind of a leader, do they? What do we like? We like those who are willing to get their hands dirty and serve with us. Now, oftentimes, you learn this in leadership. The further up you go, you have what? You have more responsibilities and you lose rights. It's a rights and responsibilities issue. And so as you have these, as you get in, further up, and sometimes what people don't understand is people that are in the higher levels are doing much more than you think because they think that they're not doing anything. But the reality is that's why it's important for those that are at that level to do what? To show they're willing to serve. Why? When you have a servant's heart, when you show that you're willing to help somebody in need, can I tell you something? It makes an impact in people's lives. Because they realize that, you know what, you're not in it just for yourself. You're in it for others. You're in it to help others. And so we see this challenge we have of servant leadership wanting to do this because we want to climb that ladder of success. But Jesus is saying greatness is being a servant of him, is saying I'm willing to serve more than, as Jesus said, I didn't come to what? To be served, but to serve. Let's look at this next passage. Number 4, Jesus took risks to serve others because he knew whose he was. John 13:3. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and is given to you by God? And don't you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing this passage where Jesus is saying, I recognize in John 13:3 that God has given me the authority. So I'm, even though I know there's frustration, there's struggles, I know whose I am. Sometimes it's not simply knowing who you are, but it's knowing whose you are. When you realize you are a child of God. We read in 1 Corinthians 6. Look at Romans 8:17. It says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs with God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. So we see this principle taking place. He's saying, look, you have to know whose you are. Because the world's going to tell you who you are. They're going to define who you are and define success for you, or you can define success for yourself by recognizing whose you are. You are a child of God. You are a co-heir with Christ. He's saying, we're in this together. You're a part of the family of God. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge we face because the challenge is an identity crisis. We don't know where we fit. Like, we don't know what we are, right? It's like, exactly what are we? How does this apply? Where am I in this era? We think that, you know, well, I don't know if I'm worthy for God to love me. I don't know if I'm worthy for God to care for me. Can I tell you something? You are. You have value to God. He cares for each and every one of you. There should not be confusion. You should know that you are his and he loves you. The fifth principle we see is Jesus stepped down from the head table to serve the needs of others. Look at John 13:4-5. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around them. Now, this principle even of itself is just mind-boggling because they didn't have shoes like you have today. Many of them wore sandals of the sort, and their feet were considered one of the nastiest things there is. Yeah, because, I mean, some of you would agree they still are, right? But the reality is there, in their situation, they had dirt, grime. You can just imagine what it was like. And so Jesus, here he comes at the table, sitting at the head table, he steps down from being the head and says, I'm going to wash your feet. This principle in itself was simply showing the humility, but it's showing down that he's willing to step away from his position to serve the needs of others. And in doing so, what happened? Remember the disciples, they say, whoa, you're not washing my feet. He said, yes, I have to. And what is Peter's like, then, you know, wash all of me. If you got to do it, let's do it, right? There's this struggle that goes on. And you see what? Jesus is giving example to us. He's saying, hey, if you want to be great, become less. If you want to be great, know whose you are. If you want to be great, you know what? Seek me, not a position. And you can see these principles that play out even today. But the challenge we have is the comfort zone. We like things the way they are. We like things in our own little personal bubble, don't we? That's how we like life. Like, don't get in my space. Keep me in my comfort zone. But the truth is, to serve others, you're going to have to step out of that comfort zone. You're going to have to do things that you don't necessarily enjoy doing. But you're going to have to be willing to say, hey, I'm going to push out. I'm going to jump beyond my comfort zone and discover what God has for me. And in doing so, you begin to see God's greatness, see God begin to move inside of you. The sixth thing we see here is that Jesus shared responsibility and authority for those he called to lead. Luke 9:1-2. It says, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and heal all diseases. Then he sent them to everyone, to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, he's What is he doing? He's transferring that leadership. Now, this is hard. Because if you've ever led, this is the challenge. I call this the skin in the game. Think about this. How much skin do you have in the game? In other words, what have you sacrificed to make this happen? I just be transparent with you today. When we made the shift and began to plant the church, one of the hardest things was this principle right here. Because when you literally leave a comfort zone of having, you know, a job, salary, insurance, everything, and then you go and you start from nothing, it's the scariest thing ever. Any of you that's been entrepreneurs, that's done this, you know exactly what I'm saying. You've been there of like, oh God, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Because it's scary. You're stepping out. You're putting that. And then to have others come along with you. And what happens is, as in leadership, you get so much responsibility upon yourself that you're not willing. You have so much skin in the game. You're not willing to release. You want to do everything. You feel like you have to do everything. And just being transparent as I was, that's been a struggle from day one. Because why? You want to try to do everything you can, but you realize in leadership, you have to be willing to release. When you look at when Paul writes and talks about the church, he says that their role is to what? Equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. But this is hard because in our society, people think the pastors should do everything. They should be the ones at everything. But the reality is when you look at the word, it says equip the saints to do the work. But why is this a problem? Because you have so much skin in the game. The antithesis can be the same too. If you have no skin in the game, you have no ownership. As we talked about last week, it's your church. It's your problem. It's your struggle. It's not mine. But you have to be willing. You are in this together. You take ownership and say, hey, we're in this together. And the last principle we see here is number 7 is that Jesus built a team to carry out the vision worldwide. Matthew 28:18-20, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given them. And be sure of this, I am with you even to the end of the age. And so the principle we see here is he's saying, hey, you got to do it with others. When you look at Acts chapter 2, you see they came together. They were a team. We do this together. We're going to work together. And this is that buy-in principle. This is the antithesis to not having skin in the game. This is when we all say we're going to buy in. We're going to do this. We're a team. Because the truth is we can't do it on our own. God can give the vision to one, but it takes all of us doing everything. And you may sit there and say, well, not me. God can't use me. I'm disqualified because of this or that or this. It doesn't, you're not, no. If you're here, everybody do this, go, everybody do that. You feel that? There's air. If you have breath, God still wants to use you. You still have a purpose. You still have a plan. And no one here is exempt from that. No one here. There's nothing you've done that exempts you from what God has for your life. Why? Because God loves you. He's called you. He has a design and a plan for your life. And leadership at its core is saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to take on the characteristic and the traits that Jesus exemplified. He showed us. He gave us an example. His life. He lived this out. The true servant leader, as the term that they want, comes from the example of Jesus. And as we look at that in our lives and we say, what is leadership? Leadership is influence. Yes. You will have followers in that process. But leadership, I believe, is more than that. I believe leadership is humbling yourself and living your life as a true believer and a follower of Christ. When you simply begin to do that, and you begin to apply the principles of God into your life, can I tell you something? You will be blessed. Well, how can you promise that? Because his word says this, that his word does not return void. And when you apply those principles of leadership, when you look at the principles of leadership, like I said, servant leadership, there's so many others that you look out there in leadership, they teach today. You know where they get them? The word of God. Why? Because his word is solid. It doesn't return void. There's fruit in that. And that's huge in our lives as we begin to say, hey, let's buy in. Let's see what God has planned. I want you to close your eyes and reflect on that this morning. If you're here this morning and maybe you're processing all this and you're saying, okay, I don't even know who God is. I don't have a relationship with Him. We never close a service without giving you an opportunity to experience Him. You know, as we talked about it earlier, I think what everybody wants is fulfillment, hope, and peace. They look to substances. They look to relationships. They look to whatever they can find that they think is going to make them feel happy and feel whole. But the truth is today, those things will bring emptiness. They may make you feel good for a season, but them in itself is just simply a season. The hope that you want, the peace that you want, it only comes from experiencing and knowing God. When you experience Him, you begin to see that as I apply His life, His principles, I connect to Him, as we talked about earlier, and I grow in Him, and I partner with His body and His church, then we lead people. Comes through that process of knowing Him and experiencing Him. And if you're here this morning and do not know Him, we never close the service without giving you that opportunity. Maybe you've accepted Him at one point in your life. Maybe you've never accepted Him. Today you need Christ in your life. If you're here this morning and you do not know Him, I want to give you that chance today. Whether you're asking Him to come into your life or you're simply rededicating your life to Him. But if that's you this morning, with no one looking around, we're not going to embarrass you, call you out. We're going to pray with you right where you are. But if that's you this morning, I just want you to make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Amen. Anyone else? If that's you this morning, you're saying, hey, I want to connect with Him today. Let's pray. In Romans chapter 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you're saved. The confession is declaring Him as Lord. The belief is living it out. But let's pray this morning. If that was you that responded, or maybe you didn't respond, but the Lord's speaking to you. If you pray and declare this yourself and believe in your heart, the Bible says you are saved. Let's just pray right now, if we would. Say, dear Jesus, I come to You today, and I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I believe that You died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen.